Today I'm going to be reading from Luke 21, 25 through 36, if you'd like to follow along. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the power of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that that day catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man.
There'll be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and earth distress among nations. It's a little scary, isn't it? I almost picked a different passage. This is the lectionary, because I'm not all that comfortable with this one. Coming off of our Christmas party last night with all the joy and the songs and the feasting and the laughter that comes from robbing one another of those gifts and love and graciously silly ways. When we gather with the joy of Christmas and the promise of more of it, it is hard to walk in on a Sunday morning and read a passage so enigmatic, so distressing, signs of destruction, foreboding, people fainting with fear, a command to take watch, be on guard, to not become trapped unexpectedly because you must have fortitude to escape. It's a little scary, right? Am I wrong? It's a little scary. Maybe you get why I wanted to avoid it. It doesn't fit with what we want or expect right now as we prepare ourselves for Christmas. I don't want to think about those kind of things. I don't want to think about scary stuff. I want to feel good. I mean, that's what all of us want, right? It's the happiest time of the year. So let's get on with it. The thing is, whenever I get those kind of urges to just rush right through something, that's when I know I need to check myself. I want to avoid the difficult and the uncomfortable because I'm going to feel better, and I figure you're going to feel better too, so I don't want to bring you down. I don't want to scare you. I don't want to make you feel bad when all you really want to do is celebrate Christmas. Me too. It's bad enough I put the kibosh on all the Christmas carols, right? We're singing them. But the last thing you want to do is do uncomfortable scripture, squirm in your pews, fear for the future, the coming of the Son of Man. We've got enough to worry about than have to come to church and be afraid of this kind of stuff. Right? I know. Look at our world. Those fires. God, we're still not over it. Your friend lost everything. 100 people or more killed. Even today, there are people who are still lost. Can you imagine that? The fear experienced by those rushing to evacuate, and those who died, and the anguish they must have felt, that heartache and that fear continuing to be felt by family members awaiting the news of the missing or mourning the loss of their dead. Or the earthquakes that just shook in Alaska, tearing apart highways and crumbling with cars perched on giant cracks. Those were incredible pictures. There's a lot to be afraid of. As I was thinking about Advent, I thought about where I was 2 years ago and the kind of fear I was holding and the depression that began to settle into my bones. I'm still distressed. White nationalists boldly attempting to claim power, a ban on Muslims, a military barricade against families who are seeking refuge at our borders, trans people in fear for their lives, and women who continue to feel unheard and unvalued, a clash of race and a rhetoric of hate. I'm afraid. I know you want me to preach a happy sermon, and I don't disagree with you. I want one too. I have become so much more comfortable visiting Santa Claus. I never thought I'd say that, but visiting Santa Claus, because I get to bask in my daughter's smile. So much more so than reading uncomfortable scripture and looking at the uncomfortable reality in our world. But even as our faith calls us to be comforted, our faith is not a plug to stuff in our ears. It does not call us to blindness, but calls us to see. We are not called to run away from fear, but invited to face it head on. Think about it. The story of Jesus is a story of faith facing fear. From the very moment that Mary is told the unsettling news that she is with child, she is faced with the fear, that frightening fact that she could be shunned and left for dead. There was no way to ignore it, no way to make it go away. She had to face it. And yet immediately she is told, "Do not be afraid." The angel didn't give her a chance to escape. She's going to have this baby whether she liked it or not. Although I suppose there's always a choice, isn't there? Legal or not. She could have tried to undo what had been done. She could have taken her own life. Imagine the kind of pressure she was under. Faced with such weighty news, I would not have been surprised if Mary had tried something desperate. And I think about the realities in our world. This mess that we have made, the pain and the suffering and the fear, and I just want to run away from it all. I want to escape. Sometimes it's just too much to hold. I become afraid of what kind of world my babies are growing up in. And I want to save them from it and then create this little bubble and, you know, stay with Molly on Santa Claus's knee and pretend this is all there is. So she'd never have to worry or hurt, or know the suffering of this world. And yet, I want her to be connected to brothers and sisters the world over, to brothers and sisters holding heartache in this very room. We cannot be so coddled and disconnected that we do not feel the emotions of our brothers and our sisters right here and just outside these doors. I carry this tension always. Like most of you, as I've already expressed, I am struck by the death of Martha Sarkissian. She was sitting right there where Flo is. The last time I was at this pulpit, it's hard for me to entirely process her death, even though, as I have said many times this week, I know that when you're in your 90s, you are never far from death. But honestly, I thought she was going to live to be 100. She was so vital, so active. She rarely ever missed a service. Her life was full, and I rejoice in this. But we know it wasn't easy. Many of us have read her book, and we know the life that she's lived. But man, if you saw her every Sunday morning, She made it look easy. I was blessed to see her on Wednesday, hours before she died. And it was beautiful. It was powerful. Selfishly, I relish the opportunity to be with the dying. It's so sacred. You might think it's odd for me to tell you this, but it's actually one of my favorite parts of ministry. And yet, dying wasn't entirely easy for Marta, despite the reality that she did not have a prolonged illness. Her children watched her suffer, and it was wretched for them. She cried out in pain for hours on end, and they were too scared to be in the room with her, lest they stir her awake and she writhe with pain again. There's nothing easy about suffering. There's no silver lining. Was Marta afraid? Maybe. Probably. Her children were. And yet she faced it all. And by the time I saw her, she was smiling, ready, in that holy space where fear has no power. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, but the power has gone away. Marta, Mary, unafraid to face the fear because they knew something all the more powerful was with them, in them. So can we read uncomfortable scripture? Can we look at a painful and a hurting, suffering world? Can we dare to hold the hand of the dying and face it all unafraid? Maybe it's okay to be a little scared. Of course. We must acknowledge our fear, to admit that things are hard and the world is scary. To do so is ignorance. We don't have control. I wish we did. I have such a hard time with this one. I wish we did. But when we don't have to let fear have control over us. To be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and all the worries of this life. It's that tension. We can't hide from it either. I'm so struck by this vision of Marta that I was so blessed to experience. She was smiling as I reminisced with her about her life, her warm hand in mine, and that beautiful, powerful smile on her face. The one that we all know so well. It gave me so much hope that even as I knew that she had been suffering, there she was. Yes, frail 93-year-old woman dying on her deathbed, hours away from her last breath, but there she was with power and peace. She was not afraid. I can tell you that with utmost certainty. She was not afraid anymore. Faced with, for many of us, is the most fearful thing life can offer, death. But she was unafraid. Just like that girl, Mary, where fear could have left her frozen, instead, she faced it and invested in the hope of what would come, knowing that God was with her. Friends, the miracle of Christmas is, and always has been, that we do not have to be paralyzed by fear. That yes, we may feel it, we can face it. It will not overpower us, for we are so much more powerful than we think we are. It's almost unbelievable, I know. But so is this Christmas story. And yet we come back to it. year after year, 2,000 years over. It's not as flashy as the Christmas trees that sparkle in our home or the lights that dance upon the roof and across the lawn. It's not as big as the presents that come wrapped with bright bows promising to delight us for an hour or so. No, it can't be bought. It can't be sold out. Despite how hard our culture tries, it ain't for sale. Let's get that clear. Christmas is not for sale. You couldn't get it half off on Black Friday. Instead, you have to look for it. Listen. Seek it out. Squint if you have to, because it's not always bright. It starts off so small, that flicker in the darkness. And still, there is hope. There in those dark places where fear resides and grows in the night, that's where the spark ignites, where hope begins to flicker and fear steps aside. That's the promise of Christmas, the advent of the light. It's coming, Emmanuel, God with us in the dark. In the light, in the small flicker of hope that casts shadows and drives out fear. There's something so simple about Christmas. When you push away all the other stuff that tries to tantalize us and persuade us to believe that we're not enough unless we get this or have that, we are enough. We have everything we need. We are not alone. Fear will not overtake us. The promise of Christmas, the gift of Emmanuel, God with us through it all. We need not be afraid. And so we, like our Martha, will leave suffering behind. We'll walk through fear and choose to walk towards the light. Amen.